football podcast called Living the Stream comes to you each week. Streaming recommendations during NFL season, it's not just tongue-in-cheek. Quarterback, defense, tight end recommendations based on opposition matchup. Here are your podcast hosts, J.J. Zacharyson and Danny Carter, Living the Stream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Living the Stream. I'm J.J. Zacharyson, the late-round quarterback. And as always, I am joined by my lovely co-host, Danny Carter. Danny, how are you today?
I'm doing well, J.J. It's good to be back here at Living the Stream headquarters. New York, and no, I can't think of anything else. You asked me how I was. I'm still reeling from watching the video of you on Twitter today, rattling off all of the gambling hotlines in different states. And if folks haven't seen this, I highly recommend go to Late Round QB, check it out. It's quite incredible and the most impressive thing I've seen in a long time.
Okay, so here's the background to that. We were going to open with something else, but I think we can open with this because this is something that is more important than talking about Derrick Henry. So for those of you who don't listen to the Late Round podcast, you should. Number one, I don't like you because you don't listen to it. But jeez. But for those of you who don't listen to the podcast, we do ad reads on that show on behalf of FanDuel because I'm a FanDuel employee. And in these ad reads, if they're a sports betting related ad read, then I have to read these gambling hotlines, at the end of the ad, this disclaimer, right? And the disclaimer though, instead of just saying like, hey, go to FanDuel.com/gambling or something like that. And just say like, that's it. I have every single state, that has legalized sports betting basically has like different rules around how to get people help. And so each one has like different hotlines and stuff. So I have to read every single one. I don't know what the heck's going to happen when inevitably all 50 states allow sports betting to be legal, right? Like it's just going to be, it's going to be a disaster.
You're going to need a federal hotline.
Yeah,
like a,
right.
Like a national hotline. Like the government's going to have to dedicate $1 billion per year to the hotline for everybody in America.
Right, exactly. And so anyway, so I'm reading these, I read this disclaimer for my show every single time that I read one of these podcast reads. And, you know, I've heard people say, number one, is this, are you just copying and pasting, you know, the same read over and over again? I can't because it changes. There's different language in there. So I can't do that. Number one. Number two, people think that I don't get through the whole read in one take. And look, sometimes I don't. Okay. Sometimes I don't, but the vast majority of the times I do. And so today when I was recording the Late Round podcast for tomorrow, I decided to pull out my phone and record me reading the disclaimer. And that's what I did. And that's what I posted. And I just happened to do it in a where I didn't stumble. And so I got it out there and I let people critique it.
It was insanely fast. And I mean that in like, in a sense that I can't imagine being able to talk that quickly. The speed in which your lips were moving didn't seem possible. And I watched it twice just to make sure that it wasn't. I thought maybe you sped it up. You know, like you sped up the footage somehow. I don't know. It was
no.
Crazy.
It's all completely. It's completely real. I mean, you guys listen to this show at least, and you know my cadence. And I'd say my cadence is fast, right? It's faster than a normal person speaking. It's not probably. like, but you know who's insane with cadence is Rich Rebar, our friend.
Yes,
Rich.
Yes.
No one is a faster, like, no, I've never met anyone or talked to anyone whose brain goes so much faster than their mouth, than Rich.
And that says something because both are extremely fast. I can hardly keep up with Rich when we see each other face to face. We saw each other. We went to the beach in New England this summer, and I just remember being like, I'm like four subjects behind right now on what Rich is talking about.
Yeah, he's just incredible. I mean, he's incredibly smart, and that's a sign of his intelligence. He's just an incredibly smart person. But yeah, I mean, like it's just one of those things where like I've read that a read similar to that so many times where like I can get in a rhythm of how to do it. And so I just wanted to post it because I wanted, you know, it was a nice behind the scenes moment of the Late Round podcast where everyone got to see me sitting alone in darkness in my office.
I thought originally that I was going to watch it and you were going to be like, blah, 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 West Virginia, blah, 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 Kentucky, blah, blah, blah. And then you stumble and be like, shit, God, you know, and part of the kid. But, you know, because, you know, I was going to say I can sort of not, I can't relate because I can never talk as fast as you were talking there. But I do an adjust the ranks video for NBC Sports Edge every week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I sometimes wing it, you know, because I think that it can be better when I don't have it all scripted out. And a little bit more off the cuff. So last week I did that, and the poor editors who had to work with me on this video, because I would get almost all the way through one of the bits, and then I would stumble over something, and I would immediately unleash a torrent of curse words like the Sopranos, you know.
Yes. Here's the thing. I'm reading that. Me reading something I'm good at doing, and you know, like reading and speaking.
Yeah.
Me speaking and trying to remember things and memorize things, I don't really like memorizing things anymore. Like that was for high school and college.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's all college and high school is, memorizing stuff. Right. And then you forget it 2 years later, but like maybe 2 minutes later. But when it comes to like sitting in front of a camera, and cause I do a show for FanDuel, every Tuesday, a very quick, it's called FanDuel Hurry Up. And we have someone sit in front of a camera and give three takes. You know, I did a waiver wire ads this week, and I talk about three guys. So I talk about D'Ernest Johnson, Rashad Bateman, and Ramondre Stevenson, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, nothing on this planet is more irritating than when I do these videos and I'm speaking to an audience where these guys are generally available, right? Yeah. This is a FanDuel audience. This is a large number of people where some of them are very casual fantasy players. And FanDuel then tweets out the videos, right? So this week I said, add Ramondre Stevenson. You know, he ran the most routes for in the New England backfield this past week. What if they start using him in that James White role? That would be great. And so I'm talking about that. Someone responds and is like, where were you last week?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to respond and be like, I'm not going to say it to the kid because for the kids out there.
The children.
Yeah, you know, expletive.
Yeah.
I had Ramondre Stevenson as an ad last week on my podcast. It's not my fault that you're not listening to me. Like, it's not my problem that you decide that you have no idea what the Late Round podcast is, which is fine. But don't come at me and say that I'm a week late with Ramondre Stevenson when you have no idea what type of analysis I've done up until this point, right? Anyway, I do those videos, and it's a video where it's me in front of a camera the entire time. There's no image that pops up or anything like that. And I get so disoriented when I look down while I'm recording. So I'm literally just staring at the camera the entire time and memorizing like the two or three statistics per person that I'm just trying to like say on the, in front of the, you know, for the video and stuff. It's one of the most difficult things that I do every week.
Really?
I just am not good at it. I know that I'm not good at it. I'm not good at memorizing things because I need to either read something or I just need to shoot from the hip and completely not, because here's the thing. When you like sort of memorize something, right? Number one, you don't want it to be a speech whenever you're sitting in front of a camera talking about waiver wire ads. But when you like half memorize something, then it's a lot easier to jumble over words and stuff. Uh-huh. Because you're like, oh man, did I forget this one little piece that was like not really fully part of this whole memorization?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to really explain it, but clearly I'm having trouble finding words right now. Yeah. And I blame the NFL because of the East Coast dad situation that we've been dealing with over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. It would be great if we could get one Sunday or Monday night game or Thursday night to end before 1:30 AM.
Yeah, it would be amazing. I've not been drained like this in an NFL season. I don't think ever. I mean, it's really, really difficult. But regardless, you know, my stance is staring in front of a camera and just speaking is a lot easier than having something half memorized or, you know, reading is a lot easier too. But having something half memorized is just very difficult.
In doing the adjust the ranks video, one thing that I found is difficult, more difficult than I originally thought was, pretending something is off the cuff when it's really not, when like I had like perfectly planned it, like, but to rattle it off seems, you know, seems like way too fake, you know, like unnatural. So yeah. I'll pretend to come up with something like off the top of my head by stopping or saying or something like that. And when I watch it back, I'm like, oh no, I can see right through it. I'm transparent. I look like an idiot.
And by the way, my explanation with the memorization thing, this is why my show, the Late Round Podcast, is either completely scripted or whenever I go on like rants or off the cuff a little bit, there's no notes involved in that. It's me just speaking and just talking about it, because whenever I have just like bullet point notes, I'm not good at filling in the gaps there. That's the issue. That's the problem that I have. And just, you know, 3 minutes ago, I wasn't able to really find the words for that, but that's the most succinct way to sort of put it into why, you know, I approach things that way.
These are the perils of the content minds, people, is what we're saying.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, we're just sort of opening up the peeling back the curtain. Yeah. Is that what they say?
Drawing back, peeling back, taking down the curtain, burning the curtain.
Yeah, we're just burning the curtain here and letting you guys know all of the struggles that we deal with as fantasy football analysts during football season.
That's right.
It's a tough life. Anyway, Denny, before we get into going, oh my God, I can't talk right now. Before we get going into the week 7 streamers and what happened in week 6, what's going on over at NBC Sports Edge?
I'm glad you asked, JJ, because today I recorded the Tuesday edition of A Good Football Show with Pat Daugherty and our Zoomer colleague, Jack Miller. And let me tell you something about Jack. That kid looks exactly like Zach Wilson. And I told him that. I told him that after. I said, Jack, I've never seen him.
Never seen Jack in person. Well, Jack and Zach. This is cute.
Yeah.
I've never seen Jack in person. I've only seen his avatar.
He is, I mean, a handsome young man, I'd say, just like Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson looks like a Disney star, right?
Zach Wilson looks like a Ken doll.
Yeah, yeah, incredibly, and you know, great hair, great skin. I'm going on too much about Zach Wilson. Anyway, Jack, I got to meet Jack Miller. We on the Good Football Show. We talked about his column, which goes on NBC Sports Edge every Monday, and then my kicker column is up, and that is obviously the most important fantasy football content of the week. So you can check that out at NBCSportsEdge.com.
Let's look at what happened in week 6. It was a very narrow streaming group. We didn't have many. Taylor Heinicke, one of the most disappointing performances in a while, I'd say. Yeah. I thought Heinicke was a lock to score like 17 points.
A dead lock. He had 10 at halftime. How many did he end up with?
9.28. Yeah, it was rough. It was a really rough second half for that team. Luckily, Carson Wentz had 17, so that was good. Zach Ertz, 12.9. He ended up scoring a touchdown. Dan Arnold, 4.7. Ricky Seals-Jones, he scored a touchdown. He had 16. Packers defense, 7. Cincinnati, 7. And Miami, 4. So, you know, outside of Heinicke, not a really bad week at all. You know, 2 of our 3 tight end streamers scored a touchdown. You know, 2 of our 3 defensive streamers were like fringe top 12 or around that range. So, you know, not bad. It's just that Taylor Heinicke was sort of like the feature, the poster boy. And let's just be honest. He S'd the B, right? Like, it was rough.
That's up to the listener's interpretation, by the way, S'ing the B.
Let's move on to week 7, Denny. Why don't you kick things off at the quarterback position?
Yeah. I get to talk about a quarterback whose team has an implied total of 8. No, I'm kidding. But Daniel Jones against Carolina. The Giants are 2.5-point underdog with an implied total of 20.25. You know, we're scraping bottom here is what I'm saying.
It's a tough week. It's a very tough week.
It's bye week apocalypse, you know. So take that into account when we're touting these guys. So the Panthers are more of a run funnel defense so far, but it's unlikely the Giants will be in position to run it a whole lot. Carolina has allowed 9 total touchdowns to quarterbacks over the past 3 games. So Jones has that going for him. And, you know, I think, you know, we can count on Daniel Jones having a certain amount of rushing appeal. You know, he has 4 or more rushing attempts in 4 of his 6 games. He only had 3 last week. he was coming back from the concussion. I don't know if that had to do with anything, you know, with the way he was used or the way he performed. But yeah, I mean, I guess you could do worse against Carolina.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's a tough week. I think that the top streamer is probably Tua this week. He gets Atlanta. Would you agree that Tua's
the Yeah, I think he's pretty clear, yeah.
Yeah, so Atlanta's the fifth best matchup when looking at adjusted fantasy points allowed, the method that I use to calculate that. And then if you look at how Tua has performed this year, he's played three games, okay? Weeks one and two were against New England and Buffalo, two division games, you know, toughish matchups, especially Buffalo. Buffalo's a really tough matchup. Can we expect that much from Tua in those contests? Probably not. He finally gets a plus matchup this past week, and he kind of torched the Jags. I mean, he had a pretty good game against Jacksonville. He was QB 11. He looked good. There's a decent enough 47.5 point over under in this game. It's a tough week. I think Tua is at least a 15 to 17 point kind of quarterback this week.
I'll go with it. I mean, I much rather play him than Daniel Jones, that's for sure.
Yeah.
My next guy is Jimmy Garoppolo, who I was looking up some reports, but it's not certain he'll play this week, right?
I think it's definitely like in the 90% range.
Yeah,
like, it's looking good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Niners are playing the Colts Sunday Night Football on NBC. Folks, check it out. And this is a low-key great spot for any quarterback, in this case Jimmy G. So the Niners are 4-point home favorites. We know Garoppolo has been a product of game script, really struggles in negative game script and excels in neutral and positive script. The Colts defense is something of a pass funnel this season, with a very nice 69% of the yardage against them coming through the air. That's the 12th highest rate in the NFL. And listen to this, only Washington has given up more passing touchdowns than the Colts. 94% of the touchdowns scored against Indianapolis this year have come via the pass. And Jimmy Garoppolo should be fine in the pocket, should be nice and upright, which is good. The Colts have the lowest quarterback pressure rate in the entire league at 16%. So I like Garoppolo over Daniel Jones this week.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think he's at least safer. The last one I think is kind of intriguing. I think Justin Fields is an interesting play this week. I might actually put Justin Fields number two on this list of four.
Oh, baby.
Which is kind of spicy. But if you look at Chicago, last week they had 25 team targets, right? So they threw, that was the first time they hit 25 since week one. Why? Because they had a negative game script finally against Green Bay. If you look at Justin Fields up to that point, they had two positive game scripts, and they had that game against Cleveland where there was no game script because did Chicago even play in that game? I don't even know. I mean, they were very bad. Now they get Tampa Bay. Okay, yeah. Chicago's been running the ball so much at such a high rate. They're not going to be able to do that against Tampa Bay, who's like the ultimate pass funnel. Tampa Bay, they've allowed by far the highest pass rate this season. You know, I do think that Fields is somewhat of a risk because Tampa Bay is probably going to be able to manhandle the Bears' offensive line. But the Bucs are the eighth best matchup in adjusted fantasy points allowed. Last week too, Justin Fields scrambled more. He ran the ball more. And so we could see that again in this game against Tampa Bay. I think there's more of a ceiling than any other matchup that he's played in this year. And I think that we might finally see Fields be unleashed a little bit as a rusher in this game, as a mobile quarterback, the mobile quarterback that we thought he was going to be. So I kind of like Justin Fields as more of a ceiling play. Tua's safer. Tua probably has a similar ceiling anyway. But I think Fields might be my QB2 of this group.
Yeah, I might lean Garoppolo there over Fields. But you know what would be nice is some designed runs for Justin Fields. Where are those? Does Matt Nagy know that Justin Fields is the fastest quarterback since RG3?
Yeah, it's really obnoxious the way that they've like just not allowed him to sort of be him. But, you know, I think they're going to see passing volume in this game. I would not be shocked if Justin Fields has like 30 to 35 pass attempts, which is a lot for him. That's a lot for him.
Everybody has to pass against Tampa. Nobody runs.
Yeah. Let's move on to the tight end position. I'll just start because I'm already talking right now. Rookie Seals-Jones, he gets Green Bay. He's still rostered in only 30% of Yahoo leagues. I know he's not available in your league, but I do think that he's, a strong streaming option given that percent roster number. He's had target shares of 20% and 15.4% without Logan Thomas. Here, listen to the Washington routes run over the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Terry McLaurin is in first at 81. Adam Humphries is in third with 55. Okay. 81 to 55. Guess how many RSJ has?
Like 78.
78. He has 78.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just see that earlier today? Is that what you were?
No, I'm guessing because I've watched every snap of the last two Washington games.
Yeah, he's run three fewer routes than Terry McLaurin, a significant edge over Adam Humphries. Green Bay has been the fifth best matchup for tight ends this year, too, when looking at adjusted fantasy points allowed. So I think RSJ, of this group that we're talking about, easily the top streaming option. And by the way, we didn't mention it. We might add him. Taylor Heinicke might be a quarterback streamer this week. We just haven't fully decided yet. So if the other guys don't really do it for you, you can look at Taylor Heinicke as well.
Right. We're talking with the interns. We are efforting on the Heinicke front. Yeah, RSJ is still 70%, is out there in 70% of leagues. And again, we know not your league. We know that RSJ was actually drafted before Logan Thomas in your league.
You know? Yeah, right. He was a sixth round pick.
I love not in my league Twitter. Yeah, so getting backtracking to that Chicago Tampa game, we have Cole Kmet, who could be a beneficiary of the Bears' need to pass, or maybe the Bears being forced to pass against the Bucks. So Kmet has 6 catches on 9 targets, very nice, over the past 2 games. That's in the run heavy Chicago offense. 9 targets over 2 games constitutes a 20% target share in those games combined. Unbelievable. The Bears are 13-point dogs, so they have to pass, of course. The Bucks have allowed the third most tight end catches, and tight ends are averaging 8.7 targets per game against the Bucks. So, you know, I think you can be fairly confident Kmet will be involved here. I'm sorry if you hear my dog barking. He's losing his mind.
Yeah, I heard that. I thought it was you. Next guy, CJ Uzama, he gets the Baltimore Ravens. Uzama's actually run almost the same number of routes as Tyler Boyd over the last 3 weeks, which I found kind of surprising because, you know, I just figured that it wouldn't have been that close. But Tyler Boyd, by the way, has been not good when T. Higgins has been healthy. Can we just throw that out there?
Yeah. Really bad.
I mean, shocking that a slot receiver, you know, takes a back seat when you have two alphas on the field.
Right. How many alphas can one team have?
It's amazing. Jamar Chase is amazing. I love Jamar Chase.
I got so nervous about him when he started dropping those balls. And I know drops don't matter and all that. I get it. But like, that was like yippish, you know, like the yips. And that freaked me out. I feel so vindicated with taking him in best ball all off season. It worked out.
Well, my thing with him, I ended up getting a ton of Jamar Chase this year. And it wasn't necessarily because I wasn't nervous about what was going on there. I was. You know, I thought there was something going on in between the ears, but literally everyone was feeling that way.
Yeah.
And so like his ADP dropped, and then I was like, well, he's gonna be my wide receiver 4 because I'm going so wide receiver heavy. And so I have him in the Apex League. I have him in, like, I got him like everywhere at one point, and then no one cares about this, never mind. But I have a lot of Jamar Chase because of the way the market reacted and the fact that he was a 99th percentile prospect in my model. Yeah. Anyway,
right.
CJ Uzama, he's running as many routes as Tyler Boyd. He's clearly going to be at best the fourth option in that offense, maybe even fifth, depending on the way that the running back situation sort of works out. But he has hit a double digit percentage target share in 2 of his last 3 games. He scored touchdowns in 2 of those 3 games. Baltimore is the 8th best matchup for tight ends. So yeah, I mean, this week with so many bad tight ends, I don't, and just so many bad situations in general.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's like a horrific, horrific play.
He's not. That's the tagline for the show. Get your non-horrific plays here. You know, per your numbers, Baltimore is giving up a 28.6% target share to tight ends. That's the highest in the league.
Yeah, I mean, and they've done this in the past too. So I don't think that he's you know, Cincinnati's obviously going to have to keep pace with the Baltimore offense. So there could be a lot of passing volume. I think that he's at least a decent play.
I have Evan Engram. You know, on a day when Daniel Jones drops back like 100 times against the Rams, I think he threw 51 passes, and Evan Engram ran a route on 75% of Daniel Jones's dropbacks last week. He saw 5 targets. It's just horrific. Just
what happened to him? What happened to Evan Ingram?
I don't know, man. It's the worst usage ever.
But yeah, sure, you can stream him this week.
Yeah, right. But I'll go on here. Tight ends are seeing nearly 25% target share against the Panthers. You know, I guess the Giants are probably going to be forced to the air a lot. So, you know, you can possibly do worse.
Yes.
Than Evan Ingram.
And then let's move on to, I guess it's all 4 of them. We have 4 tight ends this week. Let's move on to defense. We've been talking about the Giants, but we're going to talk about the Giants defense now. The Panthers have been horrific on offense over the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like just so bad. They have allowed 4 sacks per game over the last 3 weeks, 2 interceptions per game. This game has a 43.5 point over under according to FanDuel Sportsbook. Mm. Carolina is favored, but it's a close game. The spread's pretty close, like 2 points or something. So it should be like a low, it is at least projected to be a low scoring game. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, just given the way that Sam Darnold's playing, I think that this is a decent streaming play.
Matt Rhule was kind of funny on Monday when he was like, "That's it. We're establishing the run."
Yeah. Yeah. Which is hilarious. I mean, it's, I want to love the Panthers. I've talked about this on the show. Like, yeah. I want to love everything about the Panthers because they draft the guys that I like Terrace Marshall and DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. They draft these guys that I liked in my model and as a, you know, while I'm prospecting. They got Tepper as the owner. He's a Pittsburgh guy. And like, they seem fair. The organization seems, at least compared to the average team, forward thinking. Right. And like, they're, you know, and I live in Charlotte. So like, I like the Panthers just naturally because of that too. But like, Matt Rhule's comment about establishing the run really, really made it seem like he doesn't fully know what's going on.
Yeah. Here. Well, he was a high T run establisher coming into the pros, you know,
right,
so we're going back to his roots. He also seems kind of done with Sam Darnold. Like, okay, we've seen enough. We're done.
I'll tell you what, before the season started, I traded in a dynasty league, in a super flex league. I traded Sam Darnold for Kareem Hunt and maybe a piece, or maybe one. There was something along those lines. And it was, I mean, like, in a super flex dynasty league, that's not, I mean, that's a relatively decent trade because quarterbacks are just so valuable. I was so tilted after the first 3 weeks of the season, even though Kareem Hunt was doing great. I was so tilted because of how Sam Darnold was playing. But what would you say the odds are right now that Sam Darnold's their starter in 2022?
There's a 0% chance that he's going to start.
You're giving a 0% chance?
0%. He's already done. They're already out on Sam Darnold.
I'll give it like a 7.5% chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Watson. It's going to be a rookie, you know. Somebody.
There's a lot of teams out there that have good receiving cores, and I'm thinking mostly about Pittsburgh and Carolina, who are going to probably sign a veteran. Mm-hmm. This offseason.
Yeah.
Like Pittsburgh's almost a lock to go the veteran route because they're going to probably get like a middling draft pick. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Steelers, dude, I know that I'm like not the biggest fan in the world of the Steelers anymore because I just, it's hard for me to, but like 17-year-old JJ losing his mind about Aaron Rodgers potentially being a Steeler.
I didn't think about that. But yeah, no, the Steelers will never rebuild. Never.
No, there's no rebuild. No. I mean, everyone in Pittsburgh has been talking about them drafting a quarterback for the last 5 years, and they just refused to do it. But look, the there was already rumors about Rodgers doing the Pittsburgh thing, and then that game happened, and he was like talking up Mike Tomlin, and there was that moment on the field Rodgers was trying to snap the ball when the Steelers had 12 men on the field, and then Tomlin called a timeout, and they had that look. They gave each other that look, and they're smiling. And then Rodgers on the McAfee show was saying how everyone loves playing for Mike Tomlin and stuff. And I'm telling you, he goes from a situation where he hasn't, you know, it's been sort of like this like hostile environment in Green Bay, just from an organization standpoint, the way that they haven't like allowed him to be a part of it as much, to like the family run Steelers and like Mike Tomlin being like the most player friendly coach of all time. I mean, it seems like, does it not seem like a very, very similar move as Tom Brady? A very similar move where you're going to the other conference and you're going to a team that has established players and established, I mean, obviously the offensive line in Pittsburgh is trash, but like you have the wideouts, you have the running back, you have the tight end, you have that piece, you have a good defense, and then you get a player's coach. It's a very Tom Brady-esque story here.
It's starting to sound like it makes too much sense.
I'm telling you, there's at least going to be strong rumors about it throughout the offseason. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. I think the Steelers are going to have like Teddy Bridgewater next year, but I don't think that this is a non-zero chance situation.
The Steelers are going to have Sam Darnold next year. Sorry.
Oh my God. No, please. I mean, at least he'll sling it a little bit for Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson. Yeah. That's all we care about. Anyway. All right. Give us another defense.
I have the Saints defense at Seattle. So last week with Geno Smith under center for the Seahawks, the Steelers scored 9 fantasy points. The Saints pressure quarterbacks at about the same rate as the Steelers this season. And the Steelers came up with 5 sacks against Geno Smith. So I think what we're working with the Saints this week is a sack base floor.
Yeah, I agree. The Saints are sort of on the fringe in terms of being a streamer. They're rostered in like 60 to 65% of Yahoo leagues, but we're going to shout them out this week because there's not a ton of options. There's one more defense, and there's really not a lot going on here. Like, for me to like get you really excited, they're a deep play. Vegas against Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Philly's an average matchup when looking at adjusted fantasy points allowed, and Vegas is a home favorite. That's it. That's the reason that you would be playing Vegas. There's nothing more to it.
Yep.
It's just that the process. The over-under in that game is like 49. It's not that great for a defense, but like, there's not many options out there. And I think that if you need to dig a little bit deep, Vegas kind of works, and you just got to hope that, you know, some variance hits.
The process. Correct.
The process. To recap, we got Vegas, New Orleans, and the New York Giants. Cole Kmet, CJ Uzama, Evan Ingram, RSJ, Jimmy G, Justin Fields, Daniel Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, and maybe Taylor Heineke. Maybe. We'll have to talk to his mom. First question from Twitter is from @mana_dork. Why does Fox keep pushing the masked singer despite the fact that no one has ever watched it?
I'm sure millions of people watch it every single week.
Have you ever watched that show?
Yeah, it actually, I find it to be offensively terrible. Like I can't believe that a network would put that on
TV
and expect me to consume it. It actively made me a dumber, worse person for watching it. It's the most trash show I've ever seen, and there's nothing close. There's nothing close.
Yeah. It feels like something that you would see in a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it does.
Right. Doesn't it? And I've watched it. And look, I like trash television. Okay. I've watched really trashy television. I got back into shows like Denny, I don't even know if I've shared this on here. Growing up, did you watch like Real World growing up?
I wasn't allowed to.
Okay. But you know, Real World and such, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I was the third kid in my family, and my parents didn't care about me. So I got to watch whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like 11 years old watching people have sex on the Real World. And so I watched the Real World growing up, and then I watched Road Rules too. Cause Road Rules was like more of like the PG-13 version of,
yes.
You know, if Real World was rated R, this is, you know, Real or Road Rules is PG-13, Real World's rated R. So I watched that growing up. And then the challenge happened. Do you know what the challenge is? So the challenge is when it started by bringing Real World and Road Rules members together to do challenges against each other. And to like, you know, it's basically a Survivor type game, you know, like they do these crazy challenges and then they vote people off. And then eventually someone wins the grand prize, whether it's a team, a pairing, a person, whatever. There's different rules every season. So I watched that throughout like college into my 20s. And then I just stopped. And there was like a 3 or 4 year gap where I just didn't watch the show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife and I, over the last 5 years, we got back into it.
Okay.
And we watched the show. We still watch it all the time. And there are people from Real World seasons that I watched when I was 13 years old that are still competing on this show.
Come on.
There's a dude. I mean, there's got to be a handful of you that watch this show still that know what I'm talking about. There's a dude named CT. Okay. He was on Real World Paris way back in the day. I mean, okay. You look at clips of Real World Paris, it's almost in black and white. It was so old.
It was 90s? So,
I mean, it was probably like maybe like 2000, early 2000s.
Okay.
Okay. The dude is over 40 years old now. I mean, he's not in his 20s or 30s, and he's competing against these people who were in, I mean, who were like prime. I mean, it's like, he's like the Tom Brady of the challenge now.
Yeah.
And he like, he won last season. Like he's still this like freak of nature, and he went through like a dad bod phase, and then he lost all his weight again and whatever. But what I'm basically trying to say is I watch trash television, and The Masked Singer, I watched it. I tried to watch it.
Beyond.
How do people get into that show? It's because there's a payoff, but you have to wait so damn long for the payoff.
It's excruciating.
Yeah.
And then they have like different parts of like trying to figure out who it is. And then there's like the big reveal, and it's like somebody who had a one hit wonder in 1988.
Yeah. You know? And it's like you're really getting excited about this. That's the thing that sucks too, is that there's going to be some people that you don't even know.
Yeah. I'm like, when I watched the reveal happened, and I was like, who? I was the Snoop Dogg. I was the Snoop Dogg gift. Who? You know?
right. Like it's just doesn't seem that appetizing. But look, if any of you guys watch that show and we're you feel like we're trashing you right now,
I am trashing you. I don't apologize. I don't apologize. I'm trashing. Stop watching that show. Read a book or something.
Also, if any of you guys watch The Challenge, hit me up and we can talk about it. Next question, @_AdamKS_. Is a peanut butter sandwich an acceptable breakfast food? I think it's kind of weird, but my wife seems to think it's totally normal. Also, what's the weirdest thing that you've ever eaten for breakfast?
Well, to answer the first question, I suppose, you know, I won't judge too harshly.
As a breakfast food?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little
I've seen worse breakfast foods, but like the peanut butter in the morning is probably decent for like fine for you to consume, you know? Right. Like
you have to get a little smoothie, protein, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it's like that crazy to eat that in the morning.
Have you had something weird for breakfast? I don't know if I've ever had anything weird for breakfast.
I don't know if I have either. I don't think that I have.
Pizza.
I mean, I eat smoothie. Yeah. I've had pizza. I mean, it's like I've had literally like anything that I ate the night before for dinner. I've had for breakfast before. I feel like that's not abnormal. What were you going to say, Denny?
If you had pizza for breakfast today, you'd have to be shipped to the emergency room immediately.
Yeah, exactly. If I did that today, I'd be screwed. But yeah, nothing crazy for breakfast. I don't think a peanut butter sandwich is that crazy, though.
No, it's fine.
Next question, @GoldenGram41. The fantasy industry seems to be one of the most supportive ones to work for. Have you ever had a job that had a toxic environment?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yes.
I mean, I feel like you probably have like, I mean, given your like newspaper background, I mean, you've had to have like some crazy toxic jobs.
Horrible working atmospheres. I mean, the worst. Backbiting, sniping, undermining. Every job except for one that I've had has had that those sort of things that just make it awful. There was one, I left one job after working there for 6 months where I had to, I had a meeting with the HR person just as a formality, like, okay, you're leaving the job, you talk to the HR person. And I ended up meeting with the HR person for 2 hours to give dirt on every single person I worked with because I was showing her where the bodies were buried. And right. That was cathartic. But yeah, I mean, working back, my first job out of college was for this little newspaper in Prince George's County. And one time someone mentioned the word labor union in an email to other reporters, just a mention. Okay. As a joke, like we should get a union, but we weren't going to do it. Like no one had time for that. And our boss came out in the middle of the workday and told us to stop working. And she stood up there and she said, if I hear that word one more time in this office, you're all fired. And I said, wow. Okay, well, I need to find a new job.
Oh my goodness. I haven't had, I mean, I've only, this is only my third job out of school, what I'm doing, right? I mean, like my, like my function has changed and stuff, but I've been with FanDuel / NumberFire for like 8 years now, 8+ years. And I was with two other companies before that. But both of them were great. Like cause they were both ad agencies. You know how the ad agency world is. It's just like, yeah, let's I used to go home for my second job. I used to get home, and I'd be sweating, dripping sweat because we were playing ping pong for like an hour and a half. Not because of work. I wasn't, you know, doing project managing so hard that I was profusely sweating. I experienced a lot of it in like internships and stuff. I experienced, cause you know, internships are usually pretty dry and like, you know, I was a business major. And so like, you know, I was going to business school. And so like your internships are just like, they suck. Like they're stupid. And I experienced a lot of that corporate, BS just seeing it.
Yeah.
And I told myself, I'm never going to do this.
Oh,
I'm never going to work in an environment like a true, true corporate environment. And I never did.
Yeah. I will say that my current job is excellent in every way, including they let me do what I want. And, I get very, you know, very little pushback, even when I'm, you know, a total idiot online. I appreciate that.
And I do think the fantasy industry is a really good one. You know, don't get me wrong. I think that there's, it's just a different, when there is toxicity, like, I think it's just a little bit different. Like it's sort of portrayed differently than what you would typically, you know, the companies aren't going to necessarily be that way. But I think, you know, between like analysts and stuff and the way that people act about like how you should behave and like what you did and didn't do, like that kind of stuff, that's where there's more of that toxic environment, as opposed to within it being within the walls of one company.
Yeah, well, it's between companies or between people, because it's a hyper competitive environment as well.
Yeah, and like most people, you know, the majority of people that I have come across have been amazing. You know, and really the only like qualms that I've ever had and issues that I've had with people have been like through social media, and then it's just like I'll either meet them in real life and it's great, or I just never meet them in real life and it's fine. Right.
Yeah.
But there are always going to be people out there who would rather see the world burn than, you know, be part of, being a problem solver. Sure. And so, you know, you're just going to get that everywhere, and you get that in the fantasy industry too.
Yeah.
Next question is from @SwerveAndSherven. I'm a gigantic baby. He says, my partner loves scary movies and I cannot handle them. She wants to watch some with me. What's the LTS recommendation for low ceiling spooky movies? The only scary movie really I liked was The Thing. This is a Denny question.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, I guess I'll take this on. I actually, sorry if you hear my wife sneezing in the background. Shout out to my wife's allergies. I actually kind of an expert in like low ceiling, what Sam said, low ceiling horror movies. So, you know, I think any sort of like 80s slasher would be good, Sam, for you to watch with your is it wife, girlfriend? Who is it?
His partner.
Partner. Sorry. Went to non PC there. You know, but any Friday the 13th, I think, would do, except for like the later ones. So I'm talking about Friday the 13th, part 1 through 5. Try out. Also for the Halloween season, try Halloween 3. I talk about this movie too much, but I'm going to recommend it. It's a fun watch. It's entertaining. It has a couple scary parts, but not too scary.
I literally never watch horror movies.
Yeah. I just never,
I think like the last one that I actually like watched was like one of the Scream movies.
There's a new Scream coming out in January.
Is it with the same cast?
All the same people. They're all back.
Wow. Yeah. It's a good cast.
Yeah. I love it.
It's a legit cast. I might have to watch that. Next question, @Chris_Riley_FFB. How granular do you separate your laundry? Just whites and colors, hot and cold, no separating? All right, now get this, Denny. I separate by the tag and similar colors and get called a crazy person.
What does he mean, the tag?
I'm not sure. The way that I take that is there's like some sort of categorization.
Oh, right.
Via like what, like the tag.
Right. Yeah, that's super strange and unnecessary. You don't need to do that.
I don't separate at all.
I don't either. You put it in and you put a color guard thing in there and you go with it. Who cares?
You're fine. And even if your whites get a little bit non-white, you're fine. this turned into a political podcast.
This is an attack on the whites, I think.
Man. All right, next question. At KMO62951344. How should we think about outlier players in fantasy football from a data perspective? The narrative around Henry's RB1 overall season to date was that his target volume increased. Last three games, he has 5 targets, 4 receptions, and still the RB1. He's doing what he did last year. So I have a lot of feelings about this.
You do.
I had Derrick Henry as my RB5 entering the season. His consensus was like RB3, RB4. Okay. So I was wrong. Right. Like, I think that I can, I try not to take, sorry if you can hear my kid crying in the background. She just got home from daycare and is apparently crying.
Come on.
But I don't like taking L's and W's in season. I try to wait till the end of the season and wait for everything to like, but no, okay. I was wrong about Derrick Henry this year. Like, I think that we can, even if Derrick Henry doesn't play another down, right. I was wrong about Derrick Henry. The thing is though, let me take a step back.
Okay.
The way people are portraying this right now, the pro Derrick Henry people, the people who had Derrick Henry as like their RB2 this season, right, entering the year,
mm-hmm.
the way they're portraying this is as if they predicted this, that they knew that this was going to happen, that mm-hmm. they knew that Derrick Henry was going to pace for 500 rush attempts,
yeah,
that he was going to pace for another 2,000 plus yard season. And like, that's fine if you thought that Derrick Henry had a little bit higher of a ceiling or that he could repeat what he did last year. That's fine if you believe that. But don't sit here and say that you knew that Derrick Henry is going to see a higher target share this season, which he does have a higher target share this season, even if that's dwindled a little bit over the last few weeks. Don't sit there and say that you knew that he was going to have a higher target share, that you knew that he was going to be able to, that he was going to see an increase of like 5 or 6 attempts per game, and that you knew that Tennessee's pass to rush touchdown ratio was going to skew the way that it did in the running back's favor. Like, all of those things have come together to allow Derrick Henry, I mean, aside from Derrick Henry being a monster, of course, but all of those things have come together to help elevate Derrick Henry in fantasy football. And I don't think that one single human being projected Derrick Henry to see this much volume in the offense, period. Like, that's not me saying like everyone who's victory lapping this are so excited about Derrick Henry doing well. They were totally wrong because they were wrong about the right, or, you know, they were right about the wrong things or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. If you were high on Derrick Henry because you saw a ceiling remotely close to this, then that's great. You pat yourself on the back. Very good job. Right. What I'm saying is the people who are saying, I can't believe these idiots faded Derrick Henry. I can't believe these idiots did this. I can't believe these idiots did that. Yeah, I mean, they're like, we're idiots for not being as high as we should have been on Derrick Henry this year. But at the same time, you didn't predict this to happen either. You didn't project this to happen. So why are you sitting there saying this, what's happening right now? I knew this was going to happen. Like, this is the thing that I cannot stand. I'm sorry, I'm venting right now. This is the thing that I can't stand about the fantasy football industry right now, is that when people victory lap, instead of saying, I did this, or, you know, I was able to predict this,
yeah.
it's I'm going to shit on everyone who didn't predict this, right? Instead of saying like, you know, like last week, or let's say Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney is a great example because you had a very polarizing group of people who on one side, they really like Kadarius Toney's upside because of his athleticism. On the other side, there were question marks about his production profile, right? Yeah. And I tried to sort of play in the middle there because he had first round draft capital and stuff. I wasn't, you know, I actually ended up being higher than the consensus on Kadarius Toney. But here's the issue. When Kadarius Toney does well and your first response is to go to Twitter and say, look at all these idiots who thought Kadarius Toney was going to be bad. That's such a poor reflection on you. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you got to sit there and realize that you did something well and you should celebrate that. Celebrate you. Don't put other people down. There's a big, big difference in how people are victory lapping in that way.
But I do think when you know, your suggestion to those folks probably is not applicable because they didn't project anything, you know?
Yeah. That's totally fair and true. That's totally fair and true. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to be like a fun sucker, right? Like, I think that if like you got something right in fantasy football, you should go out there and you should celebrate that you got something right. If you had Derrick Henry as the RB1 this year, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. You crushed that. You got that right. Go out there and say King Henry and start thumping your chest and being like, I had him as the RB1 instead of just leave it at that. Don't end it with get owned, everyone. Get owned, you idiots. Like, what good does that do for the community? What good does that do? Like, all you're doing is putting down a large number of people. And it's just stupid.
Think of the community, for the love of God. But also what I mean is, like, no one projected anyone who's saying, oh, well, of course Henry's doing this. No one projected him to do this and to see this kind of volume. But what they did say is, hey, he was good last year. So what's going to change this year? And then with Tony too, it's like, hey, he was electric in college. Like, he made a lot of good plays in college. So of course he's going to do that in the pros, but no one projected Tony to become the alpha wide receiver on the Giants the first chance he got. So.
Right. And look, here's the thing too. When it comes to that victory lapping stuff I was talking about, I'm sure there are plenty of tweets in my past where I did something similar. But what I've tried to consciously do over the last couple of years, over the last few years, is to not be that person. Like, I want to celebrate the wins and celebrate with the community that we have and have fun with that. And you know, I recognize all of my losses. I do an entire episode of it on my podcast after the season's over. I mean, I think that people just want honesty and humility with our analysis because, I mean, we're weathermen here, right? Like, we're predicting something that's very hard to predict. But when you go out there and you start talking down on people about something that's relatively unpredictable, like, all you're doing is saying that you're an idiot because you assume that you can predict these things and you never get anything wrong. And that when someone gets something wrong, which is inevitable for literally every human being playing fantasy football, that they're morons. And that's what really irritates me about the way that people are approaching this.
It's irritating.
Yeah. All right. I just had to get that off my chest. Hopefully people, good, you know, you liked that a little bit, but you like that.
You sound like cousins.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't love, like, ranting like that, but I think that sometimes it's good to know what's going on in a person in this industry's head who's producing content a lot within the industry.
Yeah, so. You're a good ranter, and no one can take that away from you.
Thank you, Denny. Thank you. Next question, at Bards IL fan, Bardsil fan. When Denny records a tilt montage and sends it to JJ, does he include the musical interlude at the start of the audio, or does the high T... JJ or does he high T JJ into finding a license-free clip each week? So yeah, I mean, so I add like a very quick clip as a transition to the tilt montage, and I just do that. I edit in GarageBand. It's just GarageBand.
Okay,
that's all it is.
Yeah,
it takes two seconds for me to do it.
And it's, yeah, I that would take me 6 weeks to learn. So no, JJ does that.
Yeah, I do all that. Denny does send me a Google Drive of the tilt montage, which we have one this week, right?
We do. It's a Monday night tilt montage, a very special one.
Nice. So he sends that audio file to me, and then I only listen to it whenever I'm inserting it into the podcast. And sometimes I just let it go too. Sometimes I don't have time to listen to it, and I just hope for the best. Next question is from at Impress Suave. Last Tuesday, I was listening to the LTS in the shower. I slipped putting my underwear and jammed my toe under the bathroom sink cabinet. Have you ever lost your big toenail before? And what age is appropriate to be scared of falling in the bathroom?
Oh God, man, that's horrible.
Everyone should always be scared of falling in the bathroom. I mean, it can happen to anyone.
Yeah. Right?
Avery had her only and first and only stitches incident because she was in the bathtub and she slipped and crushed her chin.
Yes,
in
the bathtub. You told me that was
frightening. That was not
that's
fun.
Horrible, man.
But yeah, you got to watch yourself in the bathroom. Now, as for the toenail, I've never had a toenail fall or any nail fall off
right,
of my body.
Me neither.
Thank God. I don't think anyone needs to hear us talking about this either. For some reason, that's a lot more disgusting to me than like any sort of like poop talk.
Oh, it's a total horror movie situation. Sam, cover your ears. Don't listen to that.
Yeah. Next question at Ice Cold Fire One. I'm getting a new license, and this is very interesting.
Okay.
I've never thought about this. I'm getting a new license and I'm bald. What body hair do I use as a reference for hair color?
Oh my God.
Helpful context is I almost always drive wearing pants.
I was going to say, there is, you know, there's the one, but the, I mean, maybe, chest hair.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you have any body hair, yeah. If you have any body hair, you can generally tell like what it would be. But I mean, like I thought about this. I'm like, man, are we privileged, Denny?
We are. We are privileged hair havers.
Yeah, right? Like we have hair. We've never had to think about this. Man.
That is fun. Yeah. I guess, yeah, you have to go with your facial hair, because if you have like a little scruff or a full beard or whatever, then the cop who pulls you over can say, oh, okay. Yeah, you're the one.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. All right. The next question is actually a screenshot from Reddit, but it's from @number1punna. It's from Jason. And it's a screenshot from the subreddit Shower Thoughts, which is a great subreddit. This person says, if the queen wore a pair of shoes once and sold them, they would gain value. If a random dude wore a pair of shoes once and sold them, they would lose value. But somewhere in between the queen and the random dude is a, quote, equilibrium celebrity who could sell the shoes for the retail price.
That's funny.
Who has the exact amount of fame to offset the shoes depreciation from being secondhand?
I have it. I have the guy. You ready?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Mark McGrath.
Wow, that is the guy.
Right? That is.
That's the guy. You got the guy. You got the guy.
I've always thought of him as like perfectly median famous.
Yeah, you're right. Is there anyone that's like really, really into him?
I don't think so. I mean, not today, you know, it was like 30 years ago, maybe.
But I think that they would be into him enough.
Yeah.
Sell at retail price.
Right. Expanding a little bit, I think anybody who's popular, what's that service called where celebrities wish you happy birthday and stuff?
Oh, Cameo.
Anybody who's popular on Cameo, I think, and does like a lot of work on Cameo, I think could also be in that discussion.
Yeah, yeah. I've used Cameo. By the way, Cameo reached out. Cameo wanted me to do something to like be a person, and I didn't respond back.
Oh, come on, man, do it.
No, I'm not doing that. What?
I'll do it. Tell them.
It makes me feel so unbelievably uncomfortable to do something like that.
Send me to them, and they'll go, who the hell's this guy?
they DM'd me on Instagram.
Oh,
that's how they contacted me. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I've used Cameo before. My dad, a couple of years ago, had surgery. And for his recovery, I got him. I don't know if I shared this with you, Denny, but I had the soup Nazi from Seinfeld.
Jesus.
Give him. And it was
unbelievable.
It was so good, though, because he was talking, you know, he was acting as a soup Nazi. And in his response, he was saying, I'll make you soup. And my dad had kidney surgery. And he was like, I'll get you soup, but no kidney beans in the soup. It was a very, very funny. That's like a very, very, yeah. But I feel like that's the kind, you're right. Anyone who's like a $50 to $75 yes. Cameo, that's the person. You could probably find a pretty good list by looking at Cameo.
Yeah. Kevin from The Office apparently does like hundreds of cameos.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're Kevin from The Office, like, I feel like he's the one who's capitalized the most from his role on The Office because, you know, he was like a secondary character. But he's built, obviously it's one of the most popular shows of all time. If you're him, why would you not? Like, I always see him, like there's clips of him at being like a celebrity bartender and stuff.
Oh, right.
That kind of stuff all the time. He probably makes a ton of money and he doesn't have to worry about anything.
Ton of money. Yes. Stanley from The Office also does cameo stuff. Lots of Office stuff. But yeah, I think we can settle on Mark McGrath for this one.
Yeah, I think we should end it on that, too, because that was a very, very good answer.
All right,
very
great.
Good answer. All right, Denny, where can everyone find you?
@CDCarter13 on Twitter, and all my work can be found at NBCSportsEdge.com.
I'm on Twitter @LateRoundQB. You guys can watch a video of me from earlier today, talk about the disclaimer that we were talking about at the beginning of the show. That's posted on my Twitter account. You can also subscribe's the word, to the Late Round Podcast, which can be found anywhere podcasts can be found. All right, Denny, tilt montage time.
Let's do it.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Good luck in week 7. We'll talk to you next week.
It's 8:52 p.m.
in the only legitimate time zone on this or any other planet, the Eastern time zone, and having a Monday night tilt, an unexpected tilt, because you see what happened was in my most important league, I got out to a big lead this week. It looked like easy sailing. You know how it is. And then that thing happened where my players all decided to collectively stop scoring points. Whereas before that, they had all decided to score some points. And then they said, no, we're done. We're not going to do that anymore. So they stopped. And so now I need Tyler Bass to do some things. Thankfully, he has a field goal here in the first quarter against the Titans. The second quarter just started a second ago. But I'm going to need more stuff from Tyler Bass in order to survive. I'm guessing I'll need 10 to 12 points from Tyler Bass to get it done, as the Zoomers say. And you know, I don't love my chances, since the Bills are pretty great with, you know, the touchdown scoring and whatnot. Although we're cooking now. We've got second down deep in Titans territory. And here we go, second down at the 24-yard line. It's a handoff to Singletary. He gets to the 20-ish. It'll be third down. Oh, baby. If I could get two first-half Tyler Bass field goals, that would be pretty, pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. Do the Zoomers say sweet? I don't think they do. I don't know what the Zoomers say. The other day, I tried to use the term sus with my son, who's 8. And I like tried to use it like in a really earnest way, you know, to make him think I'm cool. And he just looked at me sideways like, what? What was that? Why would you say that? Ah, they converted. The Bills converted. Third and 5. God bless America. Ah, why does Stefan Diggs have to be so good? I hate it. Thanks, Diggs. I literally hate it. And I'm tilting. Bills just ran a sweep to Dawson Knox. He got in, but there was a holding call on, I believe, on Emmanuel Sanders. Why do NFL teams do that? This is a new thing where they run reverses to, I guess they're jet sweeps, really, to their tight ends. They're slow-ass tight ends. Sorry to the kids. But seriously, Tommy Tremble is like the centerpiece of the Carolina offense. All they do is run jet sweeps to Tommy Tremble. He's the slowest dude on the field. He just plods along. What is the obsession with this? If you're going to do that, one idea I've had is to give it to someone fast. Give it to someone who can run faster than the defenders. That would be, I think that would be optimal compared to the tight ends who don't run faster than anybody on the field. What is this? NFL teams would literally rather run jet sweeps to tight ends than go to therapy. That's my takeaway here. I am tilting. 9:02 p.m. Eastern Time, and Tyler Bass is lining up for a 28-yard field goal, a gimme, just a tap-in putt here. And he makes it. Let's go. Let's go! I'm tilting. It's 10:11 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. And Tyler Bass, I believe, is coming. Yes, he's coming out to attempt a 46-yarder. This would seal the win for me. Oh, no, 52-yarder. I don't know how I missed. 52-yarder. Let's go, baby. One time, one time, one time. One time, one time, one time. Get in there. Get in there. Yeah! Yeah! Yes, I just pounded my chest like a caveman. I'm tilting. Thank you for listening to me.
live in the stream. We hope you enjoyed the internet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes now. It won't take long, it's fast. For more fantasy football info, check out LakeGroundQB.com. Hope you come back soon as we share about the team.